Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, good to have you tuning in tonight. In the second period, St. Louis up 4-2 on Vegas. The Oilers will be in Vegas on Saturday. Also in the second period, Predators leading the Ducks 2-1. Senators and Avalanche tied 2-2. After the first, the Jets lead the Penguins 1-0. And the Blue Jackets have outscored the Buffalo Sabres 7-4. The final in that one coming up later, Hurricanes and Sharks. Monday Night Football, 1 minute left in the first half. Buccaneers heavily favored against the Giants, and they lead 17-10. Furness Family Oilers hockey tomorrow. Face-off show is at 5. The game is at 6:30. Oilers take on the Stars. It's a back-to-back. Then the Oilers visit the Arizona Coyotes on Wednesday. Bob Stauffer on the road with the team, checking in from Dallas. Bob, I know you didn't get in till late this afternoon, so thanks for hopping on the show, man. How are you doing?
Good, Reid. Busy day in Edmonton.
Extremely busy day. I attended the news conference today at Commonwealth Stadium with Ian Murray, the chairman of the board for the Edmonton Elks, and Alan Watt, who's going to be the interim COO as they search for a new president. Bob, I mean, it's a tough day. I understand the discontent, and I understand fans wanted changes, and certainly I thought, you know, for the last few weeks, at the very least, Brock Sunderland was going to be let go. It is all three guys in leadership positions. When something like this happens, something's gone incredibly wrong, and now you got to make good hires. So this is an ongoing offseason story for the Elks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because some would suggest to you that the challenges started creeping up years in advance. And for me, I think all the way back to the salary, the implication of the salary management system for the CFL. Prior to that, the Edmonton Eskimos, I mean, there was a time in which they had Frank Morris identifying the best Canadian talent. You had Ray Newman, the best U.S. scout out there. And the Eskimos were an organization that, you know, we'll paraphrase a term since we're down here in Big D in Texas, Reid. The Eskimos did have the big hat. And oh, by the way, they also had the cattle, right? So they could afford to spend more than everybody else. And they knew at a time in which Rick LaLisher was there, you know, was running the football team, was the CEO overseeing the organization. They knew that when they moved to that SMS system, that it would be a different time for the then Edmonton Eskimos. And so, unfortunately for Preston and Sunderland, I think they're paying a bit for the sins of the past. I don't think the Canadian procurement's been good enough for 15-plus years, and there needs to be a reevaluation of that, and it's wide open. So for a guy like you who gets to not just talk about the Edmonton Oilers but also talk about the Edmonton Elks, it's going to be a really interesting time because I don't think this is a overnight quick fix solution. I think they got a lot of work to do here, and I just want to say right now, Reid, I'd be really happy to see the Elks gain some real traction here over the next couple seasons and regrow their brand because I'm an old knot hole gang kid myself. I love the CFL and I love football. And I don't just love the CFL. I love NCAA, as you know, and NFL as well. So I hope it all comes to fruition. But they're paying for the sins of the past. There's no question about that.
I just want to bring up one more topic before we transition to the Oilers. I opened up the phone lines, got a lot of texts in the first hour. Dave came on with me and fielded some calls. Definitely got some feedback about wanting cheaper ticket prices, especially from families or kids. Got a couple people who just said, hey, it was a bad year. Let's not overreact. You know, it's all over the map a little bit. And, of course, I got a couple people saying, don't like the CFL anymore. Don't care. Stop talking about it. And that's fine if somebody wants to say that. I will tell you this, Bob. I worry, and I've said this before on my show, not to you, but you know the old saying, when a quarterback throws a pass, three things can happen and two of them are bad. That philosophy doesn't really exist anymore. But I feel now that quarterbacks in the CFL and maybe by extension offensive coordinators aren't just terrified of throwing interceptions, which is understandable. They're terrified of even throwing an incompletion, because I'm getting tired of the 3-yard check down on second and eight instead of the chuck it mentality. Yes, there were close games this season, but a lot of them were lower scoring. And I'm worried that the wide open mentality that the CFL once had in its favor has somehow been replaced by a very conservative mentality.
I think it's the personnel that's changed as well, Reid. I mean, Warren Moon had to come to Canada to prove himself because, let's face it, there was a color line that existed in the National Football League back in the late 70s for quarterbacks. And, you know, he had to prove that he could play here first. And now you're looking for, you know, you've got the advent of the spread option offense. You've got, you know, the NFL and NCAA football protecting the quarterbacks, protecting their players. I mean, there's no return game anymore. The CFL in the late 1970s and early 1980s was a superior product to the National Football League. And I'm as hardcore of a football fan as you will find, okay? And it was a way better product. Heck, at one time, Gil Scott, Bill Scott's dad, Bill Scott's the assistant GM of the Edmonton Oilers, at one time, Gil Scott was funneling guys like James Scott, the wide receiver for the Bears, or Vince Ferragamo, the quarterback for the LA Rams, Tom Kuzma. He was funneling those players into the Canadian Football League because the money was closer, and it was actually a more entertaining game to play. Well, what's happened in the States? Offense sells tickets. In baseball, you had the whole situation with juice and home run hitters. Remember that old ad that the baseball pitchers used to do? You know, chicks dig the long ball, right?
It was and Maddox at, and Glavin, wasn't it? Yeah.
Sure, right? And you look at the NFL, they protect the quarterback. You can't play like the Steelers used to in the 70s where they're all over the wide receivers 15 yards down the field with their cornerbacks. Now you can't hit court. Like today, Troy Aikman would have played. We're in Dallas. Troy Aikman would have played 20 years today. He got concussed multiple times and had his career come to an end. Tom Brady's playing at 44 years of age. So the leagues are different. And as a result of the leagues being different, you have playmakers that are now playing at quarterback in the NFL, like Lamar Jackson. Guys that years earlier, the Prince McJunkin III's had played for the, or the J.C. Watts. Those guys were playing for the Ottawa Rough Riders back in the day. So it's a completely different. And so what you have now in the CFL, you're 100% right, Reid. You have game managers at quarterback instead of guys going out there and beating you. So the entertainment value has gone down. And the league, this is a league-wide thing. They have to reevaluate what they're doing. And they have to open, find a way to open and get more offense in the game. Because offense sells tickets in every sport. Case in point, why John Tortorella was wrong with what he said. Connor McDavid doesn't need to change his game. The NHL needs to come to terms and accept we're living in a different time, all right? We don't want to see the stars of the player, the McDavids, the McKinnons, the Matthews, hindered because they got guys all over them. And, having a bunch of boys out of Peterborough, good old boys out of Peterborough, making calls, and there's three or four of them in the league off, well, they just got to fight. No. You got to get to the 21st century and allow that skill to dominate. So the same thing that's undermined the CFL is something that the NHL is slowly coming to terms with, but there's a lesson in it. There's a lesson in it for the NHL, and there's a lesson to observe and learn from both the NFL and from the NBA, which have opened up the offenses.
Maybe we need a three-point line in hockey. Okay, I'm not going that far. I appreciate the transition, Bob, to the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid, who play tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. I forgot to mention earlier, Derek Ryan, by the way, skated. Looks like he's going to be okay after missing a couple games with concussion symptoms. It doesn't sound like he actually had a concussion. So
Whiplash. He had whiplash.
He had whiplash from the hit. So Dallas, what are they at now? Not great. Well, they're okay. They're 7-7-2. They're kind of sixth in their division. That was a team I wasn't sure about coming into this season. And in a building in which Mikko Koskinen has had not one, but two thefts in his career.
Well, the last, 1920, the two times we went in here, once in December and then once in March, he stopped 76 out of 78 shots. So he was first star in both games for the Edmonton Oilers. Let's see what happens. I know Skinner was in the starter's net today. We know they're going to split the two goaltenders, and you're from the Earl Weaver School, so am I. I'm starting Mikko Koskinen against Dallas, despite of what Stewart's done and giving Skinner the start against Arizona, just because of how well Koskinen's played in this building. So, and let's also not forget, Skinner has already been in practice in the Arizona building as well, because he was with the hockey club when they were on the road trip earlier this year into Arizona and into Vegas. So that'll be interesting for me to watch to see what happens there. But there's no question that, Ryan, He needs a little bit more traction 5-on-5. He's done a good job in the penalty kill. He's had some tough moments. McLeod took a progressive step the other night. Reed, I know the fans were jabbed. I was listening a little bit to Rob and you afterwards, and the fans were pretty pumped up about how McLeod played in spite of the one turnover. So we'll see how Derek Ryan does when he gets back in there. And, oh, by the way, the Oilers have the two top scorers in the National Hockey League. They have the best player, and he's not even leading his own team in scoring right now. So it's interesting signs, to say the least.
Do you have a quick up, if you have one, anything on Mike Smith, quick?
Well, there was stuff out there earlier today suggesting that, he's going to have surgery. And my understanding is that's off. That is not the case. So, he's hoping to start skating again next week is what I've been led to believe. They basically 2 weeks off from the time that he came back from Boston, and they try to get him up and running again and potentially target a mid-December sort of. That was sort of the initial prognosis. I can tell you I did communicate that today. There was a suggestion from a couple people that he was going to require surgery, and that was a surprise to people that would be in the know in the Oilers organization. So I'm not concluding myself as one of those guys. I'm not a decision maker, but I'd say rumors of Mike Smith's short-term imminent demise might be greatly exaggerated.
As always, Bob, it's a pleasure to be on the radio with you. Let's do it again tomorrow around 5 o'clock.
Oh, you are a glutton for punishment, aren't you, Reed?
I certainly am.
Have a great show, my man. See ya. Bye-bye.
There we are. That's Bob Stauffer checking in from Dallas with a wide-ranging and passionate conversation. That's usually how Bob goes when he hops on with me. And when he's on Oilers Now, noon to 2 every day here on 630 Chet. It is 7.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
47, the time, not the airplane. You're going to hear a little bit from Stuart Skinner growing up watching the Oilers when we get back. All right, get everything on the Elks. Big news today, obviously, 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. Really appreciate everybody's feedback and thoughts on the tough season and where the Elks could go from here. And one of the first places they're going to go is to a place where they can hire people. I was trying to think of a name for that. Hirelandia? Sure. Why not? Kellen Kennedy's back at the 630 Shed Broadcasting Compound. Kellen, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing, Reed?
What is this little video, and please, in as few words as possible. That's real nice of me. What is this little wrestling video you posted tonight?
All right. So, no, it was late night last night that I posted this thing, and it was myself and a former coworker of mine here at 630 Ched, Tyler Loughton. We kind of host a wrestling pay-per-view recap
type thing. Some guy got attacked by a fan.
I thought you were talking about his awesome Tracy Morgan impersonation, which is also on my Twitter.
No, I'm talking about the one tonight during the show.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess tonight on Monday Night Raw, somebody decided to, jump the rail and attack one of the wrestlers, Seth Rollins, on Monday Night Raw. Folks, this is not rocket science. You go to a live event of any type, stay behind the barriers and just sit down, cheer, holler, you know, make noise, enjoy the event, but do not jump the barrier.
All right. Good advice from our wrestling aficionado, Kellen Kennedy. Stuart Skinner, goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers, talking about growing up, cheering for the Oilers.
It's always a dream when you're a kid. I mean, I was watching Dwayne Rolison play, Nikolai Habibulin, DeLaurier. You know, I'd always come to Rexall Place and watch those guys, and I always imagined myself wearing an Oilers jersey. And, I mean, ever since I got drafted, it's been, you know, such an amazing experience to say that I grew up in Edmonton and now I get to wear the logo. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool for Stuart Skinner, who was also asked today if he's exceeding his own expectations.
Oh yeah, I felt good coming up. I got a couple games in Bakersfield that, you know, got me rolling. I think preseason helped a lot too. I got a few games there, so no, I felt good coming in. Obviously, you didn't expect anything to really happen right away. I mean, it's hard seeing a guy go down, but yeah, I was ready coming up. Felt good, felt confident, and here we are.
All right, so Stuart Skinner up from the farm contributing. Ryan McLeod up from the farm. Couple of goals here along the way, starting to look a little more comfortable. Philip Broberg up from the farm, played about 14 and a half minutes the other night, looked pretty good. The Nuge commenting on the young guys coming up and fitting in.
We have some great young players in the system, some guys making immediate impacts, which I think is great, and I think it definitely helps. So we have a bit of an older team, we have a bit of a more experienced team, and so guys can come in and kind of learn from the older guys, and obviously, I mean, we're more of a structured team, so I mean, you come in, you fit right into the structure, and you kind of watch the older guys, and you just play from there.
All right, a little bit there from the Nuge as the Oilers face Dallas tomorrow. Yes, it's on 6:30, Chad, 5 o'clock for the face-off show, and we'll drop the puck at 6:30. Okay, we're winding her down here. You had comments from Ian Murray, board chair of the Edmonton Elks. Dave Campbell hopped on. Kelly Rudy, Bob Stauffer as well. Thanks to all of you who participated as well. And, of course, thanks for listening. Dave Campbell's the producer of the show, and our studio producer this evening is the one and only Kellen Kennedy. I'll talk to you for hockey tomorrow. Don't forget about Oilers Now from noon to 2 to help tee up the game as well. My name's Reed. Take care.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.